Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she called the school and said she'd been a few minutes late picking up her son. When she got to get him, he was nowhere to be found. They found him at home. She told them someone had walked him home. Could it have been her father-in-law, even though he was dead?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. You want access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all that stuff, we got it for you. Apple Podcasts, check out our premium channel right there. You can even try it for 3 days free. Or patreon.com/realghoststories to get hooked up over there with all of the bonus content. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. Are you got all your Halloween stuff put away? All your fall stuff down? Do you have the Christmas tree up? Do you have Santa standing on your roof and Frosty and all the elves?
Oh, yeah. Krampus. My roof's covered with all kinds of elves and shit up there. Good. And my big Santa real size sleigh is up there. I do it myself. And I just lug it all up.
You got to do it, you know?
No, I don't put up any decorations at all for Halloween. None. Not one.
Nothing.
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 I do some for Christmas, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I have rules and I will not put them up. Maybe this year I'll do it for Thanksgiving Day because I have company coming over. So maybe I'll do it a little bit early.
Mm-hmm.
But normally it's the weekend after Thanksgiving's when I will put the Christmas stuff up. I have rules, Tony.
We got all of our Christmas, or not all of it, but we're beginning. Took all the fall stuff down just the other day. And then all the Christmas has invaded and it's looking good. It's fun. I like decorating. It's going to look really weird when we go back to spring here in about a month or two.
Right.
And it's like all the, like, what do you put up? Like, don't really do a whole lot with like eggs, things like that in terms of decorating. So I don't know. I think we just go straight back into summer after Christmas and get ready.
And your house is big. So you guys have to, you need more time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just put everything up in a weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like all the kids have trees in their rooms, which I think is adorable.
Yeah.
They get to decorate their own trees. I know Harper's so excited about that.
She loves, she's been wanting to have that for a while. So she got that the other day and it's decorated very nicely. It's a very cozy room, I do say.
I know, it's so cute. She loves the decorations up in her room.
Yeah. She's been having a good time with doing it all. So, yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I did leave the Grim Reaper up, though. Just, you know.
Actually, that kind of makes sense.
Kind of as
a reminder.
Just a reminder. He's there, you know, just lingering whenever when you least expect it, you know.
Don't get too comfortable, children.
I'm kidding. I did not. I just hide it outside the room sometimes. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go over to our first story or caller of the day and hear a real ghost story.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I was just calling to tell my story. This was quite a while ago, as my son is 15 now. So when he was, I want to say he was about 4 or 5. He was in pre-K. And the elementary school wasn't that far from my house. It was maybe like 2 or 3 blocks away from my house. But it was a walk for him because they didn't take the bus. I was about 8.5 months pregnant, maybe closer to 9 months pregnant. Yeah, my son was about 5 or 6 then. He had just started school. It was the beginning of the school year. Literally, like, I think it was the first week. And they were walkers, so he has 2 older brothers that also went to elementary school with him. But he only had a half day. And that day, was a very, very crazy day. But back story a little bit. We lived with my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. My father-in-law had passed away, when my son was going to be two. He must have been one or two when my father-in-law passed away. And he was very close to my kids. Very. We lived with them. So we were just really close. He had passed away from cardiac arrest. He actually passed away in the house. So my son started school. He must have been sick. And he had a half day. So we had called the school and asked them if they can hold my son an extra 5 or 10 minutes because we were running late. We had to go to a court day as my ex-husband was going through immigration process. We were trying to get his papers fixed and stuff. So, you know, I had asked him, I'm like, is there any way that you guys can hold him for like 5 or 10 minutes? And then, you know, we'll be there shortly. And, you know, they told us, oh yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. We get to the school and we see that the kids have been released, obviously, and the parents have picked them up. It was a half day, and I think they get out at like at 11:45. We got there and I'm asking the teacher, I'm like, oh, you know, is my son there? Is Romeo there? And she's like, no. She's like, I swear I saw somebody pick him up. And I'm like, wait, hold on. Because I specifically called and told them that we were going to be late. So, you know, you guys were supposed to hold him either with the teacher or in the office. And so the teacher was telling me, she was like, no, I didn't see him go to the office. So I walk into the office and I ask him, I'm like, hey, you know, did you guys hold Romeo? And she was like, oh, no, we told the teacher to hold him outside until you got there. He wasn't outside. So the teacher kind of started to freak out. You can tell she was starting to have like a panic attack. Like, oh my God, he was supposed to be here. I thought I saw him walk with somebody off and he's not here. The principal and the teacher got in their cars and they started looking around for him. I stayed at the school. I was panicking myself. Mind you, I was 9 months pregnant. And my ex-husband, he ended up like going around the blocks trying to see if maybe they see him walking. There's also a prairie path to get to our house. So you would have to cross two blocks and then cross the prairie path and then you get to the house. My ex-husband was looking around. They were driving around. The principal was driving around. We had called the police, you know, like it was just, we were panicking. We had no idea where he went. He was only like 5 or 6 at the time. It took like 15 minutes and we're like, okay, we don't know where he is. We called the police. The teachers did like a soft lockdown at the elementary school and they were counting kids. And so my husband at the time, he went to the house and he's like, maybe he made it home. Maybe he did walk off and maybe he made it home. So he goes to the house. Sure enough, my son is in the house. He brings him back to the school. And, you know, like the teacher was like, oh my God, Romeo, where did you go? Who did you walk off with? And, you know, she was asking him questions. And so what was crazy was my son was like, oh, a guy, he was dark and had a hat and sunglasses on, he walked me home. And we're like, well, hold on. Somebody knows where we live and they know that you're there by yourself. Like, we were freaking out. We had no idea what was going on. And so we take him home. We're trying to figure out who this person was. And my son's like, he was a little bit like your skin color, you know, my ex-husband, he was a little darker. He's Mexican, but he was in a darker shade. And he said he had a red hat and sunglasses. And we couldn't figure out who the heck that was. We're like, okay, so who is this person? So my sister-in-law, she had like a camera USB, and she wanted to download the pictures from the camera to her computer. And I was showing her how to do this in the kitchen. And a lot of those pictures were from my father-in-law. And my father-in-law, he's dark complexion. And so there's this picture of my father-in-law that he has a red Chivas hat, which is a soccer team from Mexico. He had a red Chivas hat, and he always had his Ray-Bans. And my son, as we were doing it, my son was eating. My son goes, "That's the guy. That's the guy. They walked me home. That's the guy." And we're like, "Wait, hold on." We're like, "Hold on, freeze for a second." And he's like, "That's the guy that walked me home. He was here in the house." And we're like, "What the heck is going on?" So we started flipping through, like, more pictures. We were looking for more pictures. And every picture we showed him, he would point him out. He would point my father-in-law out. He's like, "That's him. That's him." He was so sure that that was him. So we were like, "Oh, my God, how crazy is it? You know, like, what if it was really him? What if that was his guardian angel?" Mind you, my father-in-law, when he passed, we buried that hat and those sunglasses with him because that was his favorite thing to wear. He wore that all the time. I mean, he wore it religiously. That was his favorite team. Those were his favorite sunglasses. And he had diabetes, heart failure. He had a lot of stuff that was wrong with him. And the light hurt his eyes. That's why he always wore his sunglasses. To this day, thinking about it, like, how creepy and how, I don't even know if it's creepy, but just how weird of that happening. Like, what were the odds of that happening? Also, right the day that my father-in-law passed, my mother-in-law found him, and we tried to do CPR. Unfortunately, there was nothing we can do because he did have a stent in his heart. He was pronounced dead at the house. Everybody was at the hospital 4 days. We were actually there for 2 days. They thought that they might have gotten a pulse that first night, and we didn't end up leaving till the next day, actually. So the next day I came home, and I ran home, and I got some clothes for, you know, the kids. I got some clothes for my mother-in-law. And I was in my room. The house was actually, it was like a basement. And then there was another basement, but it was a room. It was actually two rooms and a bathroom. You go upstairs and it's the kitchen, living room, and upstairs and there's another two bedrooms. So my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, they sit in the basement. When he had passed away, I was the first one to go back to the house. I was home alone. I heard the phone ringing. So I went to go pick it up. And it kind of just, the phone kind of died because it was a cordless phone. But as I was grabbing the clothes, you can hear what sounded like somebody walking up and down the stairs. And when my father-in-law was alive, he would put his back towards the wall and he would walk down sideways, one foot at a time, because he couldn't really see that great. And that's exactly the noise that I heard. It sounded like somebody was dragging their back against the wall and walking down the stairs. And I'll never forget it because it was so, it was just clear as day. It's just a small story. I thought I would share it because I know that guardian angels exist. I believe in guardian angels. And he had an attachment with his grandchildren. He was such a loving person. That's the one of many stories that I have to share, but I hope that you guys like it. I hope that, you know, a lot of more people can relate to it. Thank you for listening, and I enjoy your show at work, by the way, because I work night shift.
Thank you for sharing that story. Thoughts?
Well, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, there it is. All of a sudden, I couldn't hear myself. Well, I think that it's really interesting that the person who walked the kid home, the kid's like, that's him in the picture.
Yeah.
That's the guy. And that was the father-in-law. So I don't find that creepy. I find it kind of beautiful. Mm-hmm. It makes me wonder if the little boy not seeing his parents there right away, maybe he decided to walk home himself.
Sure.
And then the father-in-law showed up and made sure he got there safely. Yeah. That's kind of how it feels to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
Which I think is really beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Carol and all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.